Hey there, Class Kickers, and welcome back to Season 2 of the Kick Some Class podcast, the show designed to help you, the educator, kick some class, whether that's at home, at school, or in life. Now, today, I've got a special, maybe a slightly altruistic episode for you. If you're a teacher, which means you love education and making a difference in the lives of students, however, you're burning out on school, but you still want to make a difference, and maybe you have an entrepreneurial spirit, this is the perfect episode for you. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in with my two guests right now. All right, guys. Well, today my guest is Kirk Umber, and his brother Josh isn't here with us today, but they are a 1-2 punch with a business called A.School. And so I just wanted to start it off and just say, Kirk, welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So this is not your first rodeo, as you said, as we were kind of chit-chatting before we recorded. That you guys got into this as an extension of a healthcare kind of dream, or maybe something that was like really breaking your heart in that realm and saw that the system wasn't serving people. And so can you talk about that a little bit before we jump into how it all applies to education? And we'll let, you know, everybody that's listening, I think will piece it together quickly.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, I'll try and keep it brief, but somewhat detailed. So in 2010, we started a kind of a unique medical practice with my brother. He's the family doctor we started our practice with, and we had zero patients and a dream of not going broke. So, so far, so good. But the idea was that doctors are closest to the problem in a traditional system, but have the least ability to impact change. And so we wanted to flip that. So why couldn't somebody work with a doctor on a membership basis? So we created a membership model medical practice. It's $10 a month for kids, $50, $75, or $100 a month for adults. And that includes unlimited visits, no co-pays, free procedures, and then wholesale medications and labs that we dispense out of our office for pennies on the dollar. A normal round of blood work that may cost $500 through your insurance or cash, we can do in our office for about $12. A common migraine medicine that is maybe $150 at the pharmacy, we can get in our office for $5. So we didn't really, the irony is that we didn't really come up with anything new. We just rearranged the pieces a little bit. And so as we were, you know, we weren't the first doing anything like this. There was, there's always like some concierge type medical practices, but
sure,
wildly expensive, $20,000 or $30,000 a year type thing. But that doesn't impact the most people in a meaningful way. Like, you know, $10 a month for kids, and then you can call, text, or email your doctor 24/7. So that was our goal, and we were only a handful at the time doing something like this. And as we were, you know, a few years into it, we were growing much faster than we anticipated. Our goal was 10 new patients a month, and we were growing at about 30. And so then we were adding new doctors and things like that. But then other doctors started recognizing what we were doing, and because they were getting burnout in the traditional system with, you know, just too much red tape and not enough time with their patients and all these things. So they would start to come and visit and see our practice and say, well, I just want to watch, like, just tell me how you do this and everything like that. So now we offer free consulting for doctors that want to open up their own practice just like ours. And we give them all the resources that we used, and we have a whole startup checklist. We even have free legal services for people if they need help setting up their patient contracts and agreements, you know, lease reviews, setting up their LLC, things like that. So we really don't hold anything back, because that only slows down the growth of this model. And it, what really drives us is that we've seen what an impact it's had on our lives personally, but also our patients' lives. And we just said, we got to get this out to more people. So that's been since 2010. And fast forward, and we've now helped almost 1,100 doctors open up their own practice just like ours, and even a few abroad in some other countries, but 99% here in the U.S. And so that's how we went from the healthcare side. But then we started seeing, it was almost like Groundhog Day. We started seeing a lot of similarities between the problems that teachers were running into, and we noticed that for years. And so the parallels, once we started talking with some teachers and learning, you know, more, the parallels couldn't be more similar. I mean, almost eerie saying the exact same things.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. Like, it's almost like a Mad Lib, right? Like a noun or an adjective. Like, if you pull out doctor and insert teacher and pull out patient and insert student, there are crazy amounts of similarities going on. It's funny, on the teacher side, I heard the same thing from doctors and even friends that are nurses that are like, you know, we don't feel like we're giving the right care. There's too many patients. We're not enough time. We're too much red tape. The cost is like, you know, so that rearranging of the pieces to serve the end user better is ideal. And so, so with a school or a dot school, how is that taking that same model and applying it to educators who maybe want to get out from underneath that red tape, but still want to make a difference in education?
Absolutely. Well, it was born out of the same ideas that teachers are the closest to the problem, but have the least ability to impact change. And so we want to flip that for teachers as well. So our goal is to help teachers launch their own either micro school or pod or co-op, alternative models that are just thriving right now. And for anybody first time learning about micro schools, typically it's a small mixed age learning community where they'll meet in someone's home or a local commercial space. And then usually a hired teacher will facilitate usually a mastery based curriculum of some sort, but a much more manageable size of students. And they can have maximum autonomy on all the decision making. It's maximally sustainable, and they can make more money too. And money's not a bad thing, you know, when done right. And good business and good money, you know, there's that old adage, well, if you're eating well, you must not be sleeping well, or something like that. Like, right. But no, you can, in this type of model, you can eat well and sleep well because you know you're doing the right thing for your students and learners. So we've got a free checklist on everything for starting up your own micro school. And so we always try and, you know, ride that line. We don't want to say that public or district schools or conventional education is bad, and that nobody should do it. We're not calling for a complete overhaul, but we're saying there are better solutions. And with everything going on right now, you know, everybody's upset. And so you've got parents upset with lack of transparency and too many rules, and not to mention, you know, the whole issue with attendance zones and things like that on which student goes where. Tim DeRoche has a really great book on that, A Fine Line. And those attendance zones create more desegregation than it does inclusion. And so there's all sorts of things. So everybody's fed up with it. And this is before you even get to the most important, you know, person, the teachers who are burned out and overworked and underpaid and all these things. And so it's just not creating a sustainable solution. So we've seen those doctors get burned out, and they many times they would say, I'm either quitting or I'm going this route for healthcare. And so, well, what good does a burnout doctor do if they're not seeing patients? And what good does a burnout teacher do if they're not helping learners? So that's
right.
Yep.
Yeah. And I, you know, there's another side to that question is, what harm does a burned out teacher or doctor do when they continue to see, you know, students or patients? And I've found the same thing. Like, I hear teachers saying, I'm going to stick it out until I retire or it kills me. Or I'm out of here and I'm going to go do something else. And I think that it's that level of burnout, but also the level of the systemic, I don't know if that's the right word, you know, the way that healthcare and the way that education have been done for so long, that it's almost like we can't see that there could be another way, you know? And so for education, it's like, No, you can still be a teacher who loves education and not be a part of a traditional school. And that might take, you know, somebody a little time to think over and say, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, learning happens everywhere, you know? And it's the same with healthcare. And I'd read a book that I'm sure is kind of, you guys may have read about Parsley Health and how that all started. It's a very similar you know, model. And it really, it's a health system, not a healthcare system. And it's like, I think that's where we are in education is we don't want to be doing a one size fits all anymore. We want to prescribe for every student something that engages them and that propels them forward and gives them ownership. And I think that works its way up the ladder, right? Like, that's what I love about what you guys are doing. You're giving some ownership back to teachers as their role in this. So,
and that's absolutely right. That, no, it's just, you know, that's the whole idea is that anywhere can be a school, is that, you know, we don't have to be within four walls of a government building for learning to happen. You know, when you go on adventures with your four-year-old, you know, on dad adventures, they're always learning. They're always learning something.
Right.
And so it's the same thing. And so we've got, I forget the specific statistic, but such a high percentage of fourth graders that can't read at a fourth grade level, but we just push them along anyway. So we don't have a mastery approach. We have a fixed timeline. Whether you're on the mastery part or not, too bad. We just have to keep you moving. So it's, but whereas something like this, you know, it's still teaching, it's still relationships, you're still engaging in things like that, but you have that ability to focus on what a learner is interested in. You know, there's a school in Florida that does all their curriculum around surfing and skating. And so it's like, if that's what somebody, if you've got a child that loves skateboarding, you can teach them just about everything through that. You know, history and math and physics and science. I mean, so much. So tie back to what they love, and they'll just progress like wild.
You got it. And it's you know, I would be curious to get into the medical side. It's just a little selfish, maybe, yeah, not for the podcast. Yeah. But yeah. I say to people all the time that in school, until you have engagement, you have nothing. And the engagement can come from the learner based on the content, or it can come from the connection that you build with a student because of, you know, just your personality and willingness to care, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we find the same thing in healthcare. You know, like, yes, somebody has to be invested in their own health, you know, progression of becoming healthier, and they have to kind of like their doctor a little bit, or at least trust them, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's hard. You're absolutely right. I think healthcare is a very high distrust industry because you're only getting 5 to 10 minutes with your doctor, and they're probably just referring you on to somebody else anyways. So it's low trust that Stephen Covey's book, Speed of Trust, on that, you know, low trust industries are slow and bureaucratic and cumbersome. And then high trust industries are fast and nimble and innovative. So the something like our medical model, which is coined direct primary care, and you've got hour long visits, and you really get to dive. The appointment's not over after 10 minutes. The appointment's over when all your questions are answered, and things like this. So we want to build that trust. And too many times people will self-restrict care because, well, is this worth a copay? Or, sure, oh, I'll just see if this pain goes away in a week or two. You know, it could be something bigger. But now you eliminate all that because you can just call or text. I know we've done it on a few occasions when my daughter slipped in her footy pajamas and bonked her head on the corner of the drywall. And we FaceTimed with our doctor right on the spot. And we probably would have gone to the ER had he said, nope, you're fine. No stitches needed. You know, things like that. So it's just amazing what it can do. And, you know, for all age brackets and all income levels, anybody, because, you know, healthcare is the same regardless of who you are. We all, you know, it doesn't matter. This isn't just for the healthy and wealthy. This is meant for the people that need it the most. So
sure. Same thing about education, right? You know, it's a right that we have to take the responsibility for. So you guys are providing this service, and and you had talked a little bit about the medical side. So ADOT school, if somebody is saying like, look, hey, I'm kind of fried on this, but I love kids, I love education, I want to do something else, or maybe they've left, maybe they've yet to start, they're just have an entrepreneurial, whatever it is.
Yes.
How could they use your service to maybe chart a new path for their community and their own lives?
Yes, absolutely. So we take all that experience from helping those doctors start their own business, and then we're applying that with teachers as well. So same, you know, we've got all the checklists, everything from start to finish on opening your own school, and you know, how to set up an LLC and how to set up your social media and where to find a location, and let's talk about your budget and all those things. So we go through all that. We offer free of charge. And then the software specifically is the platform to actually run the school. So the back office business side of things to enroll, track, and communicate, collect payments, do like classes and quizzes and content, things like that. Students have a login, parents have a login so they can see the schedule and messaging and things like that. So the idea, and with our medical software, we did a similar thing where we in our practice, we were having to use like 9 or 10 different programs just to run the business. Yeah. And it was just completely inefficient. Well, the same thing is true if you're running your own school. It's like, you know, I saw a teacher on Twitter that in a district school that she created a keychain that had like, I don't know, 10 or 15 different like colored rings that had all the logins. You know exactly where I'm going with it.
Right.
That had all the logins. And everybody was like, oh, that's so cute because you can manage this chaos. And it's like, mm-hmm. why are we going with the chaos in the first place? So the idea is to have a central location for all of your resources to run the business and actually make it viable. Because so many teachers say, I love teaching, but it's everything else that's burning me out and I can't take anymore. But I've never run a business before either. Right. And so that's where the kind of coaching and free consulting comes in and stuff like that, because it's we've got this experience and we've seen it and we want to share it with anybody that is, you know, willing to do it. So.
So it's a no more excuses, man. If you
no
if you
more
got
excuses.
The dream, you know, teachers out there, you have the dream, you have the expertise, you know, something, you know, isn't right where you are. If that's you, you know, then check them out. So how, if somebody's in that place and they're like, hey, oh, this sounds perfect, I'm ready to go. Or we're running a, you know, a pod or a micro school and the business is killing me. So, how can they find you guys, to see if it's a good fit?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is a.school and then our emails kirk@a.school or josh@a.school. Or we also have our support team in live chat on our website for any questions and things like that. And we're pretty active on Twitter and Facebook and things like that as well at a school and or a school official on Twitter and things like that. But yeah, happy to answer any questions. You know, we're really, you know, we take good care in making sure we're not pigeonholing anybody into a corner if this is not something you're interested in. But if you're curious and want to know more, you know, we hear from teachers all the time that are like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can't keep doing what I've been doing. So tell me more. How does this work? And so, you know, always happy to answer those kind of exploratory questions or calls and things to see if it's a good fit for you. So.
Yeah, I love that, Kirk. You know, that's exactly it. We just provide people with options. They're going to make their own decisions. So that's awesome. Again, thanks so much for being here and, you know, give my regards to your brother and yes. We'll get, you know, be following each other and see where this goes. So I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Thank you for having me and thank you for all you do.